willing to hold our hands, walk with us, and I'm so thankful for that because life isn't always easy. This morning I'm challenged to deliver a message of challenge. And yet with the challenge, I also desire that all of us go away encouraged. And I find that that is integral to the hope of the gospel, is that while we are challenged, that the Lord always accompanies challenge with hope and a way that reaches wherever we are. So I desire your attention, your prayers this morning. I'd like to write on the board my thought. I've written on the board, if you can't read my writing, not a drive-through experience. I'd like to turn this morning to the 10th chapter of Daniel. And maybe we'll paraphrase a little bit of it, or we'll read some of it. Daniel was looking to the Lord for an answer. He was looking to the Lord for help and understanding, and it was important to Daniel. Just as all of us here this morning, we have things that we come to the Lord with and that are important to us, and that we are seeking the Lord for help and for His presence. And Daniel was doing that too, and it said that it was in the third year of Cyrus, which was the king of Persia at that time, and it said that the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, Daniel did, and had understanding of the vision, but before that happened, was seeking the Lord. And it said that in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. My Bible says weeks of days, and so 21 days. And if we were to write that, to make a point, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Day after day after day, it must have seemed. And it said that he ate no pleasant bread. Didn't say he wasn't eating anything, but he was coming before the Lord with the fullness of his heart, and he wasn't eating those things that tasted pleasant. He was eating to survive. Well, he turned his heart to the Lord and said, neither came flesh or wine in his mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 weeks were fulfilled. And it wasn't so much that he had this as an endpoint, it just so happened that this is when the Lord answered prayer. But he's relating this in after the fact, and so he knows that when 3 weeks were fulfilled, that's when the answer came. But up until this time, day one came, and he began to fast, and he began to open his heart up to the Lord, and he began to trust that the Lord was real and was going to hear him and would meet with him, but the answer didn't come on day one. And then day two came, and he did the same thing. And he wasn't pampering himself, and he wasn't eating those things that were good. And he was, Lord, would you meet with me? Would you help me? But the answer didn't come on day two. And then day three came, and we could have this discussion for all the way across the board. And he didn't know when. He didn't know, but that maybe it was going to be somewhere over here. And so that was where Daniel was at. But it said in the 4 and 20th day of the first month, he said he was by the side of a great river, and he lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and behold, there was a heavenly being. There was a man clothed in linen whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz, and his body was like beryl, and his face the appearance of lightning, and his eyes, it says, were like lamps of fire, and his arms and feet the color of polished brass, and the voice of his that came out, the words of his words, were like a multitude. It said, the voice of a multitude. This wasn't the voice of a man. It wasn't like a singular voice, but it was a multitude, powerful, deep, something that penetrated. And it said that he alone saw that. He was with some other people, but it said they didn't see the vision, but they sensed there was a divine presence. And so they ran to hide. And he was left alone. And he was moved in a powerful way when this time came. A time that he didn't know when it was going to come. But he gave himself to the Lord. And he opened up his heart. He was like, Lord, here am I. And I humble myself before you. And I submit myself before you. And I'm willing to do whatever, to be in your will, and however long it takes, whatever I have to put down, whatever I have to pick up. Lord, I'm bowing before you. And on this day, this is what he saw. And it said that he heard a voice in the ninth verse. And when I heard the voice of his words, he says, I was in a deep sleep on the ground, and he was on his face, and his face was to the ground. And he said, behold, a hand touched me. The hand of God reached through in a divine way to a man whose heart was turned towards God. And it reached down and touched him in his great need. Do you want to be touched from God? Do you want to have an experience of being in the presence of the divine? May God help us apply our hearts and turn our hearts in a full measure to the Lord. And when we do that, there will come a time when the Lord will fill our spirit in ways that are beyond our understanding, that we're not able to purchase, we're not able to earn. This is not earning it. It is making space. Making space for the Lord that He can come and touch us in our time of need. And He set him on his knees and upon the palm of his hands. And listen to what he said. O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, you are greatly loved this morning. Every one of you. Understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling, and he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, don't be afraid. From the very first day that you set your heart to understand, from the very first day I took notice, I saw you, I loved you, I cared about you. You didn't go just unnoticed and at the peril of all of the things that the world can throw at us. I was there. I was in the midst when you first set your face to chasten yourself before God. Thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. And I want to encourage you this morning that when we do that, when we seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, seek first, not for 15 minutes, not for just a day, but when we purpose in our heart that we are going to give our lives to seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all of these other things will be added unto us. Not so long ago, I I was hungry, and I decided I was going to go get something to eat. I was out in the vehicle. And so I went by a restaurant that had a drive-through window. And I was focused on getting food. One reason why I went through the drive-through. One reason I went through the drive-through is because there were other things that I had my mind on. I wanted food. I wanted to be satisfied. I wanted my hunger to be satisfied. But I also had all these other things that were on my mind. So I thought, well, I'll go through the drive-through. So I pulled up to the drive-through, and here was this big, you know, big menu. And I rolled my window down. Well, I didn't roll it down. I pushed a little button. The window went down. And I looked and I said, looked at all the options. And I said, I'll have this. And I expected somebody to speak through the speaker as soon as I pulled up. Expected to hear a voice say, "How can I help you?" That's what I expected. And there was a voice that says, "How can I help you? What would you like?" And so I said, "I'll take this, this, and this. Thank you very much." And my mind was still, "I'm going to get food. We've got this other stuff going on." I pulled up to the window and I rolled my window. Might have left it down because I was expecting it quickly. And he looked through the window and he said, "Why don't you pull around to the front and just find a place to park?" It wasn't one of those park in number one or number two and we'll be right out. He said, "Just pull around to the front of the building and find yourself a place to park wherever you want, and we'll bring your food out before long." Well, I'd never had that experience before. I mean, I've seen where they say, "Could you please pull forward?" And, you know, and then you're still kind of right by the window expecting to get your stuff. But this time he said, "Just pull out to the front and park wherever you'd like." And I'm thinking, how do you know where I'm going to park? You know, I don't see any cameras anywhere. So I said, okay. And I wasn't too disturbed by it all. So I pulled around to the front, found a place right in front of the door, actually, to park. And saw all these other cars, and my mind went back to what it was I was wanting to do. And so I was focused on that, and all of a sudden I realized, my food's not coming out here. I went through the drive-thru. I want my food. That's why I went through the drive-thru. Otherwise, I'd have gone in if I wanted to spend my afternoon here. And I really wasn't wanting to spend my afternoon there. It was like, where's my food? And so I waited a little bit more. And I started looking. It was like, this is really strange. How do they even know I'm here? And I started watching. And sure enough, there were these people that were dressed, you know, like they worked there. And they would run out with these bags, you know, and they'd go to these cars parked all over the front. And they were handing people their food. And I was like, well, what about me? I mean, here I am. Where's my food? And I sat there and I sat there and I sat there and I sat there. No food. So after quite a long time, I decided, all right, well, I've got this other stuff that I've been focused on, but I'm going to go in and find out what the deal is with my food. So I got out of my car, went through the front door, and I expected to see all these people, and you know, and really busy. And I opened the door, and the first thing that struck me was that it was quiet. Wasn't very many people around. It was kind of peaceful in there, actually. And I stepped up, and this really nice lady said, "Well, good morning." She said, "How can I help you?" Very nice. And I said, "Well, I ordered my food, and they said to pull around the front, and I've been out there a really long time, and I haven't got my food." And right about the time all this was coming out of my mouth, I saw this nice little sack, one sack, not a bunch of sacks, one sack. And I looked at it, and it wasn't in the front table. It was sitting in the back, and I saw three letters that looked to me like it said Rod. And I said, I believe that's mine right there. And she looked at it. She said, "Oh, yes." She said, "We couldn't find you." She said, Here's your bag. Here's your food. You have a really nice day." And I thought, that's it? You couldn't find me. I was parked right by the front door. And I don't know how you thought you were going to find me when you told me to park in the front lot. I didn't tell her all this. You know, these were things that were kind of flying through my mind. And so I was glad to have my food and went back and got in my vehicle. And as you suspect, the Lord began to teach me some personal lessons from that and inspired the message for this morning. Folks, availing ourselves of a drive-through experience where we pick and get has become so commonplace in life, in so many areas of life, that it has become a norm. It's become an expectation in really a lot of ways, not just with food, but many things. Things we see with our eyes, that we want to see with our eyes. Things that we want to listen to with our ears. Information that we want to satisfy our minds. And yes, food that we want to eat too. And in the past, used to require some effort. You used to have to get up out of your chair, go outside and get in your vehicle, and then you used to have to drive somewhere, and then you used to have to stop your vehicle and get out of your vehicle and walk in to wherever it is that you're trying to get, whatever it is, entertainment or food or information, whatever it is, and then you would have to wait in line behind other people, and then you have to invest some more of your, you know, resources. And then you would be given a portion, an allotment. Not an infinite supply, but oftentimes just an allotment. But now with a push of a button, we can see, we can hear, we can receive almost anything we want. Have it delivered right to our door, right to our phone, right to our speaker, right to our eyes. And if it's food, I mean, you get food just delivered right to your door. And not just pizza. You can just order just about whatever you want and just have it show up. You pick, you click, and you get. Right? Isn't that what we're starting to become accustomed to in life? It's starting to become a norm. And if you pick and you click and you don't get, then oftentimes we start fidgeting around. It's like, hey, what's going on? I picked, I clicked, and I didn't get. And I thought I was going to get something pretty quick. And we start feeling like we've been wronged, like there's a problem with that establishment, and we can start becoming impatient, and we might even think, you know what, I'll go somewhere else. In fact, I ordered this 5 minutes ago, and I have not yet received it. I'll go somewhere else. This must not be where my answer is. You follow me? Brothers and sisters, this morning, the Christian experience is not intended to be a drive-through experience. Discipleship is following. Discipleship is humbling ourselves and giving ourselves to the one that's leading. Discipleship is stopping and waiting when the one that we're following stops and waits. Discipleship is trusting and believing when we don't understand. Discipleship is willingly obeying and not losing our faith when we're told, why don't you just pull around to the front and we'll come find you when it's ready. But that's not always easy, is it? But it's God we're talking about. Our Christian experience is, it's about more than things that are just going to pass away. And yet the Lord uses things that are going to pass away to work on our hearts, to teach us, to lead us and guide us in our spiritual walk. He uses those things. And yet, we so often try to compartmentalize it. Well, I was just getting food. I just expected my food to come. It's just food. And I'm going through, and we want all these things to happen. And then we want to, well, now I'm going to do something spiritual and religious. Look, going through a drive-thru to get a hamburger can be a spiritual experience. This was for me. And it is becoming one for you. Are we willing? Are we willing truly to follow? Are we truly willing as people that have become so accustomed to picking, clicking, and getting? Are we willing to wait on the Creator of the heavens and the earth? Are we willing to submit ourselves to His timing? And yet I feel that these norms of life that we've become so accustomed to, we almost feel like that we can just go through, you know, God's drive-thru. You know, where's God's drive-thru? There, God's drive-thru is right there. We roll up to God and we roll down our window of self. And we don't get out and get in and sit down and break bread and develop a relationship. It's just that I've got all these other things going on, and I have these things that are important to me that I want. But I need this thing over here. I've got a problem, and God said, come to Him. If I need help, I'll go to Him, and I'd like a little peace, and I'd like a little more joy. And by the way, I'd like an eraser too, because I'd like to erase some of these things that are going on in my life. So where's God's drive-thru? There's one, and we go through the drive-thru. We roll down their window. We say, hello, God. I'll take some peace, and I'll take some joy, and could you throw in an eraser? I'd like to get rid of this problem in my life, and I'd also, what do you all want? And we'd like to also get X, Y, and Z, and upsize it too. We'd like a large portion of it. Thank you. And then we drive forward, and we expect God to just open the window and say, here's your peace, here's your joy, here's the eraser, you can take care of whatever you want, have a really nice day, and go on our way. Well, hopefully we don't really do that in all areas of life. Maybe that's embellished a little bit. But I don't think it's embellished as much as sometimes we might like to say. Because I think, because I've experienced, and I'm human and so are you, that it's really easy to come before God that way. And when He says, child, pull around to the front and park, stop. And when it's ready, I'll bring it out to you. That we can become impatient. And we can start to doubt. Do they even have my order? Do they even know I'm here? I asked. And it looks like everybody else around me is getting their stuff and leaving. They're bringing bags out to these people. And these people act happy with the bags they got. And they're leaving, and here I sit. Nobody's paying any attention to me. Did they lose it? Did He not hear? Do they not care? Does God not care? Why is it just me? We can think that. And sometimes we can start doubting the Lord. Well, maybe He doesn't care. Maybe He didn't notice. And we can be tempted to move on and miss what He has for us. It's not that He didn't hear us when we came through. It's that when He came out, He couldn't find a seeking heart. He couldn't find a heart of humility. He couldn't find a heart that was willing to wait. He couldn't find somebody that was in it until the answer came. He had the bag. He had the package. He had what you needed with your name on it. And it's there for us. But when He came out to look, where's the seeking heart? I can't find it. Where's the heart of expectation? Can't find it. All I find is Somebody that's racing on to attend to all these other things, thinking about it in their way of thinking, in their judgment, where they want to go. And I see doubt, I see fear, but I don't see any of this. And yet it's there all along. I'm challenged by this. Me, personally. And I believe it's a message this morning that the Lord wants us to get a hold of and internalize, because we live in a life that is much like I just described. That's not the way the Lord works. I'd like to remind you of a few verses this morning. We won't turn to them for the sake of time. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when you search with just a part of your heart." No, that's not what it says. It said, when you seek and when you search with all of your heart, that's when the Lord will be found of us. He'll be found of us. And folks, let me make this clear. It's not that God is saying, well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you that bag, but you're flat going to have to earn it. I'll see if you're willing to earn it. It is not about earning. It is about giving the Lord space in our lives to work things out on the timing that He recognizes is best for His kingdom. However long it is. We read this morning about Cornelius. Said he fasted 4 days. In that case, the Lord came and the answer came in 4 days. In this case, it was 21 days. And then you know what happened after this? It starts over again because life doesn't end. There's life to be lived. And the Lord is looking for a people that is willing to say, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, take me, use me. Lord, help me to be patient. Help me to seek. Help me to search. Lord, help me to be in that place that when you knock, that I hear. And that I'm not so consumed with all of the other things that I miss it. Unless the enemy take advantage of this message this morning to the busy mothers that feel like you're running from morning till night with your children. And fathers that are getting up and spending day after day after day working to provide for your family and be a spiritual leader in the home. Or whatever life brings us. The Lord isn't saying you have to cut all of that off and go into a corner and put on some different clothes and sit down and just wait. No, that's not it. We are doing, mothers, you're doing God's work. High calling. Fathers, you're doing God's work. Folks, wherever you find yourself in life, what the Lord wants from us is that we're willing to open up our hearts and get into plant ourselves by the rivers of water. That while we're doing these other things that can consume our time, that our spirit is open. That the Lord can come and work in our lives and answer our needs. Another verse says, wait on the Lord. Wait on Him. Be of good courage. Don't wait with discouragement. Don't wait with an absence of expectation. But the 27th Psalm says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Another verse in the 46th Psalm says, be still. Turn your vehicle off. Put it in park. Turn it off. Be still. And know that I am God. Doesn't have to be in our hands to be running and scurrying and driving and revving our engine and moving. Got this and that. And then when things don't happen like we think they're supposed to happen, we're on the move to try to make it happen. Be still. Be still. And know. Find assurance and hope and courage that I am God. I can work things. I can bring about fountains in the desert. I can cause trees to grow in barren land. I can take that which seems like is nothing but trouble and turn it into life. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep. Are you willing to dig deep? Or do we just live life, our Christian experience, we just want to scrape the top? We just want to get what we think we need and just scrape a little bit off the top and have a house that supplies all of our needs. God is looking for a people this morning that are willing to be all in, that are willing to trust, that are willing to wait, that have expectation that He is God, that's willing to open our heart's door instead of just this window of self where we just kind of call out, Lord, I want this, that, and the other, and we drive forward and we want, but that we're willing to open up our hearts and invite the Lord to come in and sit down with our souls and our minds and our and the innermost parts of our being so that the Lord can break the bread of life to us and help us to be a light to the world that we can show others Jesus and that we can allow Him to use us as vessels unto honor and not dishonor, that we might be able to have something on hand of spiritual value, not only for ourselves, but other people. It's worth waiting for. What He gives is not like a burrito at Taco Bell. He's divine. He's God. And He wants us to treat Him as such. And when we get serious before Him, that's when the answer comes. Daniel was serious about getting a hold of God. He fasted. He didn't eat pleasant food to the taste. Didn't pamper his physical. He diligently gave his heart to the Lord day after day after day, whatever it took. And again, the Lord is not saying for you to get the answer, you need to stop eating, you need to stop taking care of yourself. Sometimes, yes, sometimes that's required. Be willing to do it. But don't let the enemy misrepresent the truth that is being presented this morning. What the Lord is looking for is a heart that is truly open and gives the Lord space in your life so that He can do for us. And what did the Lord say? From the very first day, your prayers were heard. You were noticed. You were cared for. You were loved. And now that the time is right, that only God can see, because we don't know what all is going on. But when God sees the time is right, sometimes it's 4 days. Sometimes it's a couple hours. Sometimes it's 3 weeks. Sometimes it's 3 years. Sometimes it's a whole season of our life. It can take up a large portion of our life. But the Lord recognizes the eternal value in things. And we tend to look at things in terms of days and moments that quickly pass. And the Lord is looking at the whole picture. I want a relationship with the Lord where I can feel His presence and I can know He's there. And you know, folks, isn't that enough if we just know He's there with us? Just to know that He knows. Just to know that He heard us. I may not get the answer. I may have to wait. But if I just know that He's there with me, isn't that enough to know that He's there and cares and loves us and is working out those things for us, to us all this morning? For us to have some of those experiences where we pick up some of those Ebenezer stones that we heard about last Sunday night. Those things that have life-changing experience associated with it. we're going to have to be willing to lay some things down. Because this experience requires faith, both hands, and an open heart. And I want to be of that number. I want to close this morning and read out of Lamentations 3:25 says, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." I want to pursue the Lord this morning. I want to have a relationship with Him that is such that I can raise my hand and say, my testimony is, I sought, I waited, and I received. My cup was filled by the faithfulness and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that is available to every single person here this morning. Let's be challenged, but let's be encouraged. May God bless each one of you is my prayer. Amen.